Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Boom, bang. Back. We're back in the hot box doing WrestleMania 29. I do hope you are faring well and looking after each other. This show was broadcast a long time ago.
Any weird shit
that you don't like, it's because of that.
Yes,
we wouldn't be saying the things that we said a month ago that we're saying now.
That's true. I've actually found it quite sad watching wrestling under lockdown conditions. I find it really... I mean, I wish they'd just stopped it. And we could have just sort of gone, I can't wait for it to come back. And now I watch the empty arena stuff and it just makes me feel,
You're definitely down on the empty arena stuff, aren't you? You don't care for it.
It's the big thing that nobody knew was just how important the fans are. And I've seen it for myself, when I've been to live wrestling, and matches or evenings that where you've just gone, nothing's really clicking tonight. And you realise that part of the thing that's not clicking is the crowd. And when suddenly they click after with a match, you go, shit. The crowd will just explode what's happening in the ring. And from that point on, once the crowd are in it, all the wrestlers are in it. It's a really strange phenomenon. They've changed it slightly now. So AEW have done some live stuff in empty arenas. They've actually been using a place that seemingly has holes like on the side. So there's a draft coming through. And it seems a bit safer. It's more like the outside. But they've had their other wrestlers around the ring. And just having some people around the ring makes all the difference.
Really,
just,
right.
Hearing reactions.
Yeah.
The WWE have followed suit now, so a lot of their NXT wrestlers have been drafted in to just stand there all day watching empty arena matches.
It's like a lumberjack match.
It really is. It really is.
So when they talk about the development centre, what do they call it? What centre is it?
The performance centre.
Is that just kind of like it's not like wrestling... It's performance center where presumably you are practicing with cameras, to play to cameras and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
is that what the performance thing?
The performance center, what they have is they have a number of full size WWE rings,
right?
Which is however many there are, and they have all different sort of areas and rooms. So they have interview places. They get everyone ready for the way that WWE works. Talking to camera, knowing where lights are, all the technical side of it. Along with the wrestling and things like that. They've also got state-of-the-art gyms. This was all something they put together, and it was done because they realised, having destroyed most of the competition, they could no longer work how wrestling's always worked before, which is stars are made in other places and you bring them in. Instead, they're having to make people from scratch a lot of the time. And other people who've got experience, they bring in and make them wrestle the WWE style. And I think it's also a constant sort of thing about, nobody now is brought in and put on the main roster pretty quickly. Everyone goes through that. And I think it's just that thing of getting a measure of them, easing them into it and also sort of working out what their major problems are. But, the Performance Center has been a big boon for them because it's gave them a location that it was possible to film television in that they otherwise wouldn't have had. So, however much money they've spent over that in the years, and it's always been a loss maker with things like NXT, just because it's so expensive, it's worth its weight in gold now. They've got one in the UK as well. It's much smaller, but it's in Enfield in North London.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's for NXT UK. Rumour is, of course, that warehouse will be up for rent. I say that based on nothing, by the way. It's just Twitter.
It'll be the WrestleMe Performance Centre. do all our podcasts there.
It'd be great to have a massive performance centre and then just in the middle of it, a little shed, tiny little recording booth, really hot doing there. You'll know when we've got that performance centre because every single show we do will sound really echoing. Be amazing. Let's move on. We're on WrestleMania 29. We're about halfway through, which is good for us, actually.
Yeah,
I'm really pleased.
Not too badly. And, there's a little shot of the Miz Barrett pre-show kind of
thing. That's right, all three moves that they deigned to show.
Yeah, the pre-show was an hour long, but the match was only 8 minutes. What else were they doing that hour?
I believe this is the start of everybody talking heads. Their attempt to sportify it up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what you got there is you got The Undertaker. Now, can he do it? It's basically, that is every pre-show for 50 minutes. But what the pre-show is, of course, is it goes out on the YouTube and it goes out on
drives pay-per-views, right?
Yeah. In the old days, a lot of the pay-per-views used to have a half hour beforehand.
Yes.
Where they would just be so good. Don't forget, contact your provider. Mm. And it's slightly a hangover from that.
Yeah.
Now it goes out, I think you know, at this time they were still doing limited pay-per-view numbers, but it would be on the network and it was just a sort of, I don't know, they sort of do it because they've always done it.
Can you buy, if it's still on YouTube, could you buy it on YouTube instead of having to sign up for the WWE Network? I guess.
I don't know.
They don't do pay-per-views outside the WWE Network now, do they? Because they...
Well, they do. You can still buy it, but the network is $9.99 for a single month in America. Although, again, it's changing at the minute.
Yeah.
But you could buy the pay-per-view as a one-off for $59.95. So, incredibly,
moly.
There are still like figures people where about 900 people will buy the pay-per-view. And I just, you know, we might not have broadband, but at the same time, you know, that's mad. That's mad. Really strange. Talking of strange, I love those links. I just take the last thing I've said and I just put one of those words in. P. Diddy comes out and he does a mini concert. The musical acts that they have on in this era, they always act like people here have come to see me.
Yes.
And there is also a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I would say that no one paid to see the P. Diddy concert that wouldn't have rather seen Ryback. I don't think there was one person who was like, this is a clever way of getting to see P. Diddy.
No. Nobody, what are you here for, P. Diddy?
Yeah, P. Diddy.
I want to see a really quick...
I want to see three good songs. that might not happen, but that's the plan.
What I like about it, he comes out the floor and the first thing the camera does is like show the tape that he's been standing on the elevator to come up through the stage. And every time he thinks he's got the right camera to do his shit to, he's always looking at the wrong camera. He's always got the wrong camera.
Someone needs to go to the performance centre.
Oh, my word. It's awful.
I do have that thing about these. When you come to these things, there's a sort of sense of going, I'm slumming it, and this is a real treat filthy people.
Shit kickers.
These toads. And out he comes and does it. And I just sort of think, it would be like Ryback going to a P. Diddy concert. And they go halfway through, he goes, I'm going to stop the music now. Because for 15 minutes, Ryback is going to drink his nutritional shake. And Ryback continually drinking it and just going, yeah, make some noise. Cheer. Just chant my name. Horrible, horrible image.
Oh, it was poor. And then at the end of the performance, like, sometimes there'll be, you know, you'll see the Special Olympians or, and it is the Special Olympics rather than the Paralympics, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is different.
Yeah.
And obviously there'll be thing, and then at the end they'll go, oh, someone has agreed to be, in this case P. Diddy has agreed to be the global anti-bullying WWE ambassador. So if you thought that gig was shit, you've got a problem, buddy.
Yeah.
And JBL gives a very nervous smile at the anti-bullying bit. Absolute shit eating. Oh dear,
that's good to hear. Glad they're doing stuff about bullying.
But actually we did miss out on the did you see the One in the Millions promo? I am one in the million.
Yes.
I am one in the million. Just getting vox pops from like The Rock's, people who know who The Rock is, his fans. And like they're just finding, they're just going to Times Square and they've just found people from Japan and India, wherever people are, sort of saying how awesome The Rock is. Mm. And then they settle on a little girl. She's the first one who goes, I smell what The Rock is cooking. And, you know, look. We've, as discussed, The Rock has never had sex in his life. We've had before.
No,
and perhaps he and he just pretends that he's seen a lady. But the phrase "I smell the rock is cooking" just sounds a bit sexual. Give that to a little kid, is a bit much.
It's that funny thing about how people over the years forgot that all of The Rock's catchphrases were sexual.
And
that sort of
strudel and all that business.
Yeah, you know, strudel, by which I mean my penis.
Yeah,
I'd like one of his famous phrases, of course. was, I would pay money to see your vagina. Again, people forget that was sexual.
Yes.
Rock would ask that continuously. I believe, up to the present date, only two people said yes.
Yes.
Both of them were joking. So The Rock foiled in his attempt.
Fabulous Moolah and...
poor Rock. Fingers crossed for you, mate.
Yeah.
I hope one day you break your duck.
The old blind squirrel. And not like that. Yeah,
in the meantime, keep practicing.
Keep practicing.
Let's move on to Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger. Oh, Pete, I've got a lot to unpick here. Oh, mate.
This is how we don't do it. This is, again, we are recording this on the 4th of June in the middle of a widespread outpouring of love to the black community and trying to figure out what the fucking is the fucking dysfunction.
Yep.
With people, certainly in America and certainly in the UK, what the fuck is wrong with people that they still have to ask to do these things in 2020, and what the fuck is wrong with this our society that we have to say things like, you know, Black Lives Matter. It's obscene that we have to do this.
Yeah.
But we have to. Yep. And we will continue to do it. This was an unwelcome scene.
I'd go further than that, Pete. I think this is the source of all of the problems in the world at the moment. I think it was invented by WWE. I think what they did was they made it entertaining, and it was done entertainingly, and I think it normalised it, and I think the world is in a terrible way now because of a very well-performed series of vignettes by Dirty Dutch Mantel.
And he's a man who I was just recently acquainted with as being a disgusting...
Hairy, sweaty little
sewer otter.
Backwards boy.
He's the man who most resembles scurvy.
Yes, he is. He is.
He's the Rat King.
But yeah, backwards Rat King. That's exactly it.
So his name is now Zeb Colter.
Yep.
And this is a whole pastiche of the Tea Party movement.
Yes.
And of course, we can talk about the fucking "Don't Step on Me" kind of I'm like idiots in America.
Militia.
Militia that have come up through this. And we joke about this being the genesis of all that's wrong with American society and UK society and society in the West as a whole. But we can also point to the fact that this was a parody of something that was very real.
Yeah.
And, you know, it antagonised, I think, Glenn Beck on Fox News.
It did, yeah.
That Glenn Beck was annoyed that the WWE were taking the piss out of the Tea Party movement. It was disrespectful.
Yeah.
What's
funny about this is Zeb Colter, who's playing this sort of... What they do very cleverly with this is they mirror the way that those sorts of your right-wing commentators and your Tea Party people were speaking.
Yeah.
And so what they'd never do is go, "I don't like black people."
Yeah, yeah. It would always be roundabout.
Yeah.
It would be dog whistling.
I look around and, you know, what do I see? You know, I see things are changing and I'm not sure it's for the better. Mm. All that sort of stuff.
People are speaking Chinese and Hebrew and all this stuff. So it's like...
Exactly, yeah. You know. And he just does it really... I mean,
They talk about New York values.
Exactly. This is the real life version of what it would have been like if you worked for WCW and Paul Heyman was there. You know, what you've got this time is essentially Zeb Colter is being someone from WCW talking to a world of Paul Heyman. And I mean, he's very, very good at it.
Mm.
And the problem for me is he's so good at it, it's very, very believable. And there's a brilliant little video on YouTube, which is where I think you pointed this out to me on the Twitter, but on our little Facebook group rather, where they mentioned that he's got a YouTube channel on WrestleMania.
Yes.
And it's still there. It's still there.
So they set up, because any kind of right-wing commentator / maniac / gun enthusiast would have a presence on YouTube who wanted to get a message out there. So they made this really cheap, shitty-looking YouTube page for Zeb Colter.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/WeThePeopleZeb. It's still up there. I don't know why they haven't taken it down, because it's effectively a WWE employee.
I know.
Saying some fucking obscene things.
I noticed the one thing they have done is they disabled comments on it.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, that's good. Right, so no one's going to get this wrong. Yeah. Now, it's worth saying why they did this gimmick. So Jack Swagger was called the All-American American.
Right.
He was a decorated high school sort of wrestling star. He'd done amateur stuff. And they portrayed him as this sort of new version of Kurt Angle, really.
Right.
Someone who was so collegiate and American that you actually didn't like them very much. Mm. But he'd had problems getting over over. And one of the reasons he had really getting over was that he did not sound like he looked. So he had quite a lisp. So he was Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
And what they did was they put him with Zeb Coulter. And they used that idea about Americanisms and, you know, where America was going. Mm. But they had him as the poster boy of this new America. And Zeb Coulter is the mouthpiece.
Right.
There is something brilliant about going, you give the forward-looking young people, and then what you have them is manipulated by an old right-winger. Mm. I really enjoy some of the stuff they did here. Mm. The problem was, Zeb Coulter is too good at it. And it's not like he sits there going, I see all these people coming out and I don't know what they're eating. Noodles to you, you know. And you can go, well, this is just wrestling. Mm. He's really, really good at it. And what you end up having is a character that is so well realised, he's just saying things that are horrible.
Yeah.
And it's like they're meant. And what's funny, I suppose, at this time, that was still seen as being very much a heel. And you would know that. Watching back now, if you did that in front of an American audience, half of them would be applauding and half of them would be booing. It would be, they'd be fighting in the stands, really. And I found it really sort of odd looking at it and going, wasn't it such an innocent time before all these people came along and ruined everything?
You could be playful. You could have a heel that is, you know, it wasn't like... it wasn't like they were, you know, beheading. It wasn't a fucking jihadi kind of character.
Sort of thing. We've done that before.
It was this, So it was this kind of like, Jello Pastiche of a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? But is wrestling grown up enough in every other artery of its being?
Yeah. Now that
do you trust wrestling to get it right? And do you trust the fans of wrestling to interpret it in the same way? I would argue
100% agree. I 100% agree. Now, I think the reality is that one video that they have on the YouTube thing, which is them talking to Glenn Beck, I believe it wasn't actually for television. I think they did it as an attempt to get Glenn Beck to come onto Raw, where they said they'd give him 5 minutes of unedited live airtime to speak. Do not forget, the person who runs this company
is a very
kind of close friend of the President Donald Trump. He has always been a Republican. He has paid lots. I think the McMahons are the largest private donors to Donald Trump's presidential campaigns.
Jeez.
You know, this is not a company that a character like that is something that they historically at the top would have been against. It's very much like a person they probably would take to dinner. So that's also where a problem comes in.
Yes.
Now, the bit they do to Glenn Beck is there's a great bit where Zeb Coulter does one of his horrible promo trails on there talking about, you know, otherness and things.
Yes.
And then he suddenly just, they take off the green screen. The camera angle shuts and it's the two of them and he starts addressing Glenn Beck directly. And Dutch Mantel is such a good talker, Zeb Coulter, that he just sort of goes, what I'm doing there is I'm doing a promo in the form of a heel. Now, in our business, the wrestling business, we have two different things. When we do a promo, we're trying to get people to come in. And he is majestic in this. Mm. He identifies himself by his real name. He gets Jack Swagger, who says, I'm Jake Hager. Which Jake Hager doesn't have any sibilance in, so it would have been a better name for him in the start. He does now wrestle under. And he just explains that they are wrestling fans, that this is a character he is portraying, that they're an entertainment business, and that Glenn Beck, I think, had called wrestling stupid.
Mm.
And he was like, it's not stupid, and our fans aren't stupid. And why don't you come in, and you'll have 5 minutes, and you see how you go down, sort of thing. And then they go back into character. And I found that brilliant. Never seen it before.
Yeah.
I found it absolutely brilliant. Dutch Mantel, we mentioned this on the Patreon when we cover Great American Bash, one of the great wrestling minds of all time, one of the proper Zelig, like he's in every era of wrestling. And you see him doing this in the 90s, in the 2010s. I mean, he was in the Vietnam War. He started wrestling in the late 60s. 2010s, he's coming out and doing the most cutting edge thing, which you watch now and you go, is it like the most prophetic thing I've ever seen? You know, where that is now our mainstream. Is that because of Zeb fucking Coulter? Just astonishing. Yeah. And what they have is they have him against the biggest non-American star, who is the world champion, Alberto Del Rio.
Mm.
Alberto Del Rio is really, really good in this period. They're building him up as a Mexican superhero. There's a slightly annoying thing they do in here where they can't just have him go, how dare you speak to me like that? You
know, he has to say,
I'm Mexican and I'm going to kick your ass.
I came to America, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. His big thing is like, I just want to be a great American.
Yeah.
And maybe there's room for me too. They're fucking kicking in the head. Not Alberto, making that clear. The reality that happens is Alberto never quite does become the huge Mexican star that they want him to. But they do everything right in this match. They've given him some people who you can see why they would have a legitimate program with. And he goes out there and he beats Jack Swagger clean. You know, it's a really good performance. I have enjoyed watching Alberto Del Rio in this period so much, which is why it's impossible now to not say he is one of probably the easiest to acknowledge awful people in the world. So right. I don't know if you saw, but in the middle of last month, he was arrested on numerous charges regarding domestic abuse and very serious sexual assault charges. The stuff coming out has been incredibly lurid. He has had a troubled past in the few years that he's been around. He keeps losing jobs. He's no showing. He failed substance tests in WWE when he was there. He had a very sort of up and down relationship with the diva Paige, big age difference that was reported in all of the sort of celebrity stuff. Right. The stories were never cut and dried. They were always chaotic and hard to quite work out what was going on. There was a bit where he was stabbed and he gave a numerous different descriptions about what had happened. That level of chaos in some ways is more worrying when you read about it than if someone is a grade A prick, and a horrible person. When it's all chaotic, you go, there's something dark and horrible going on here. It really is. He is in prison at the minute, I think. Well, no, I'm sorry. He's been charged. He is out on bail. It was a very high bail. And he is undoubtedly going to be awaiting trial. I would say, I mean, I do talk about it in much better, clearer legal terms in our little newsletter. But it's what it basically means is it means an entire sort of, it is the end of Alberto Del Rio's career. He is never coming back to WWE under any circumstances. It is over. And even earlier this year, he was sort of saying, they've approached me and I'm just working out some details about coming back. And the WWE rushed to say,
fuck off.
We are not talking with him and we will not, he's not coming back. And they obviously, again, these are people who have worked with him and there's obviously an undercurrent of, there is something dark at the heart of all of this. And this seems to be where it's ended up.
Right.
It's going to be very difficult watching Alberto Del Rio during these glory years, not knowing what becomes of him.
Well, you knew all of this last week, last time when we did wrestle, when he was good last time around.
Yeah.
Absolute trickster, Mark. No, I was enjoying him.
I think last time we recorded, that hadn't happened.
Oh, right. So, yeah but like, surely it's the fresh sketchiness is...
Again, we talk about this about, like, when we record stuff. Wrestlers are people who, their lives move very quickly. And so I was actually aware that when we've listened, to, when they're going out, and I think it might even be going out, as we speak now.
Yeah.
It's been 3 weeks since he's been jailed, and all I'm doing is raving about how great he is. And you will now
get emails.
I thought he was arrested for all of that stuff. Yes, he was. And I have to listen to myself just going, if there's one person I'm a huge fan of, it's Alberto Del Rio.
In and out of the ring.
Yes. He is one of those people that I absolutely adore, and whatever he goes on to do is all right with me. Really, really specific things that I go, how did I say that?
How did I put ourselves out there like this?
If ever he's arrested again, and I mean this, I will give all of my money away to charity. It's, oh, fuck, Sharp.
He just says, how many holes does a straw have? 0, 1, or 2? The internet can't figure it out, so I've done what any sane person would do, ask the Luke and the Pete.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Luke Moore for an unplanned half hour every Monday and Thursday as we talk about, well, anything really, from your emails to life's great mysteries to this guy.
The noise you're going to hear sounds like a man being interrupted by a car. He isn't being interrupted by the car. He is making the car sound.
How on earth is he doing that? Beep, 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 beep. How does he make that noise? Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Beep, 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 beep.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stakhanov production.
Now, he does in this be playing the Mexican hero who wants, who's going on about America. Yeah. He did take US citizenship
right
after this match, Oh, I mean, it wasn't like a thing after this match he immediately got it. But
that's
did
not
it.
Up for grabs. Though, yeah. Florida, I mean, you wouldn't put it past them.
Like this match, you know, good guys, when they triumph in wrestling, it's marvellous.
Yes.
Not all guys triumph being good,
no,
do they?
No.
And it is a shame. But yeah, I mean, oddly, since MVP came back, I was like, they're plucking people back from the past who have still got a few miles left in the tank, you know, a few gallons left in the tank. And I did think to myself last week, I was like, Alberto Del Rio, I think maybe the time is right.
And, really? And then
Alberto Del Rio, he felt very, very strongly that I was wrong. And he wanted to make me look like a prick.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the least of his crimes.
At one point during this match, there's a girl in the audience with half a shaved head, and it's taken 29 years in game and 116 episodes of WrestleMe.
Yeah.
We finally found a cool looking audience member. I mean, it's incredible. I was like, wow, she looked quite cool. Wow.
I was watching the crowd in WCW Starrcade 1990. There are some bits where they cut to the crowd and they did a pan that made me absolutely howl with laughter. Just absolutely magic.
Check out the picture, bitches.
Yeah, I would also.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Like, if you are an artist and you're looking for a project, an excellent project would be audience members from WCW pay-per-view shows.
Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely.
Lovely. I would look at those canvases all day long. Let's go to the main event, as it should have been. It's The Undertaker versus CM Punk.
It is. It's... No. It starts back, like, you go to... Michael Starn, an American football player. I think that was either at the back end of that match. It might have been before the start of the promos, but He's an NFL player. I only know American sports guys from that Netflix Michael Jordan documentary.
Gotcha.
If it's not him or Scottie Pippen, I don't know any American soccer players.
Scottie Pippen, the talking lemon. The little lemony boy.
Scottie Pippen. Yeah.
Scottie Pippen.
Little Scottie Pippen.
Little apple.
Yeah.
I've halfway through this
and it's... the more I'm learning about Michael Jordan is that he's a fucking prick. And this documentary was apparently fucking... He wasn't involved unless he was going to be able to fucking call the shots.
Got you.
So even in a documentary where he's had to micromanage this thing on his own reputation, he still comes out bad. And you sort
amazing.
Of think,
amazing.
Well, So I just don't know any... Scottie Pippen... Yeah, watching the basketball documentary, at no point... Does anyone tell that camera? All of these men are gigantic, massive guys. Holy shit, they're tall. The longest men I've ever seen in my life, because I'm used to watching wrestling.
Yeah.
But they're usually big as well. But these guys are skinny, slender men, laying long men.
Yeah.
Oh, slender men. I've not watched so much
on
basketball.
On Halloween, can we have one basketball match where everyone dresses up as a slender man? Just that would be fucking thrill.
They're so tall and so thin.
Yeah, they are. And when you see them with wrestlers, always a lot taller than wrestlers.
Yeah.
Always a lot taller. Because if a wrestler was as tall as a basketball player, they'd be better off doing that because you get paid more.
Yes, you don't get paid 50 quid.
£50.
Oh, British promoters.
I think they are probably some of the better payoffs you get at that level of the card in Britain. Doesn't make it any better. So CM Punk is coming into this match. He's done a very long title reign, an unusually long title reign in this era. He's done over 440 days as champion. He lost the belt to The Rock at the Royal Rumble.
Right.
And he was... vocal about that again. Rock coming in as a part-timer.
Yeah,
how are you going to make big stars if you allow part-timers to come in and beat your big stars?
Yeah.
The Royal Rumble match is a better match than the Rock Cena match that we have at this at this one. So CM Punk takes on The Rock. It was really, you know, CM Punk's just really good at this point. He's really, really good in the ring. He does all of the little things. He can wrestle, you know, he can do the facials, but there's also an element of bitterness and realness to him, which makes him more exciting than anyone else. And that's that you get the impression that to get him to agree to anything, there's been a lot of arguments backstage.
Exhausted men. Get him out there. He's out there now. We can't do it anymore.
Thank God. I genuinely thought he wasn't going to go today. Every single time. Now, he loses to The Rock, but it's a bit overbooked. So he actually defeats The Rock in the ring, I think. And then Vince McMahon comes out and restarts the match because he cheated. And then The Rock sort of just very quickly pins him. And it didn't really make either of them look really very good at all. A bit overbooked.
Yeah.
They then build him for his WrestleMania match. And I think, you know, he had worked really hard during the year. He's obviously faced Cena a load of times. He's now faced The Rock. We knew they were always going to have this match anyway. Yeah. That was pretty much locked in stone. So he does get the biggest match on the card that isn't one that they couldn't really change, and that's The Undertaker.
Mm.
So they start off with a little thing in March. Now, Undertaker often has a big run to who he's going to face. You know, they build it because it's one of the key matches. And here you are, this is in March, a month before WrestleMania, and they've only just started going, let's work out how Punk's going to get into this.
Yeah.
Undertaker basically has a thing where he says, anyone want to face me at WrestleMania? And four people come out, Sheamus, Randy Orton, CM Punk, and Big Show. And they have a match, a fatal four-way to decide who's going to do it. And CM Punk wins.
Right.
So he gets to face The Undertaker. The following night, in real life, Paul Bearer, the former Undertaker manager, he dies. He dies of a respiratory problems. And you would think that that would be an emotional thing that they could in some way slowly and gently sort of suffuse the whole thing with. The Undertaker is going to pay tribute to a man who has been with him through the whole way but is no longer there.
Instrumental in his success.
Yeah, exactly. A man who has worked for this company for the best part of 20 years.
When you hear the word Undertaker, I don't hear the word Undertaker. I hear Undertaker.
Exactly.
You know, I hear that.
Oh,
Undertaker.
If you can do just the noise in a way that you go, I know who that is.
Yeah.
That is someone we all know.
Yeah.
We all know. All they needed to do was, I think, just sort of go, remember, this is a real person. And actually, this is a friend of the Undertaker's. And yes, they were together, but also in real life, they had a bond.
Mm.
And doesn't that make this emotional?
Yes.
Nom, 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 nom. Nom, nom, nom. I'm eating all of the ashes. Nom, nom, nom. I'm having sex with the urn. Nom, 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 nom. I'm going to stick the urn up my bum and then pull it out. Ugh.
When CM Punk talks about the right thing to do, when wrestling's fucking seen him off somehow, mugged him off, I do look at things like this and I go, yeah, that was a bloke
yeah.
that the other bloke knew.
What were Paul Bearer's family thinking? You know, they
I
must
hope that
have
stuff
been...
doesn't come out about him marrying very young.
Oh, underage.
Cradle snatcher. Grave robber. Oh,
I just
that would be illegal
that
in a lot of states.
The worst T-shirt you could ever see is on the front. It says, by day, cradle snatcher. On the back, by night, grave robber. Amazing.
I like it.
Oh, that is, I mean, it's being made, so let's not worry about that. But fuck me. Do they, I mean, this is the thing about wrestling. I think it is that thing. Look, we've talked about this before, about how sometimes we talk about these people and we forget they're real. You just see the character
yeah.
and you mock them and you yeah. laugh at them and they die and you go, ah, it was a funny way he died. And actually, they're real people. And what's happened here is the whole of WWE have forgotten a person they knew and worked with was a real person. And they are just like, ah, oh, Paul Bearer, he's in an urn. Ah. And Undertaker, you want the urn with the ashes of one of your friends, don't you? Ah. Well, you can get them over there. Chuck. It's Punk just like flipping the urn.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman dressing up as Paul Bearer.
Right.
Undertaker sort of like trying to get to him to hit him because he's so upset. And then Punk will hit him with the urn that's got the real ashes in until it culminates with CM Punk undoing it and just pouring all the ashes
Paul
over
Bearer,
the Undertaker.
Pouring the ashes of his friend. Into his face.
I mean, it just... I'll tell you who I'm a bit annoyed about in this bit. And that's Undertaker. Because Undertaker, he has the sway to go, do you know what? No, that's sickening.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fucking sickening. Do you think I didn't know him? He literally was with me for 20 years, you fucking assholes. Why don't I lie on the floor and you can pour it in my face? Yeah, blood man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's that thing of, like, you know, it, maybe I've opted to sort of say that this might be what he might want. But if I'm facing down, yeah. I don't know how he died, probably a heart attack.
Yeah, respiratory problems, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
if I'm staring
he
down...
He was very big boy.
He is...
He's got very big.
He maintained his bigness.
He maintained it, no. Developed it.
From the cradle to the grave. Increasing. It was not fucking Stevie and his dinner. No, he was a big boy. And it wasn't great the way that
he'd been in the wrestling
body,
business the whole life. Yes. Maybe he would have done. There is a part of me that I just sort of think, well, he did have a family. And he was a real human being.
Yes, and but the thing that I'm not saying I enjoyed this angle, but it did surprise me and shock me because this is modern wrestling, and they don't generate. They haven't, you know, they've dropped people on their fucking heads before. They've killed people. We've had Benoit and those stories, and you would think, especially only a month after he's died, you know, it's less than a month, I think, after he died, they're doing this. And obviously the angles were, you know, a few days.
It's literally in the week after he's dead, it all starts.
You've got to be, A, pretty fucking confident in the character of the man who's just died, because you can't fucking libel a dead.
Yeah.
And also, not I'm bringing out any of that into it, but also you've got to be really confident that that is what he would have wanted. If those boxes are ticked and you truly feel like you're fucking on a good day at the fucking office, then fine. But I was so shocked at how fucking real this was and how fucking weird, bizarre world it was. And I didn't see this coming from WWE in 2013. So, they've my expectations have been.
You enjoyed this angle.
I enjoyed it because it was so carny.
Yeah,
it was so
wasn't it?
80s.
Wasn't
it was so disrespectful.
There is something amazing about you go, well, he's dead, but. Do you know what? I think he's still got 4 weeks working him.
Send his widow 50 quid.
Yeah. But what's amazing about that, of course, is you suddenly realise, shit, they had no angle at all for this.
Yes.
If he died a month out
fucking
before
mana
WrestleMania.
From heaven, like, oh,
thank God,
yes.
That took care of that.
It's fucking...
Nice one, Paul.
It's fine. Arrested Development keep on finding the dad's brother. that's a winner in a cage. That's a giver.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, this match is great. I really enjoyed it.
It's really good.
Living Colour, the band, play Cult of Personality, which was Punk's song that he took.
I forget how much I did not care for that song. But the solo is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, like, the solo.
One of the few tracks where you just like, I hate this song, but I love the solo.
Yeah. do you know what? I didn't realise it was quite as old as it was. It won the Grammy for Best Hard Rock Performance in 1990. Yes. So 13 years before. this is not performed as well as the recorded version sounds.
No, they are getting on those guys.
They are. Yeah. And they have to make it clear. They go, please welcome New York's own Living Colour.
Yeah.
that is now what I call the Special Olympian defence.
Yes.
Like, based on Chris, what's his name? Cruz, is it?
Wait a second.
Who's the governor?
Oh, Ted Cruz.
No, the governor we've seen on this.
Oh, Chris Christie.
Governor Chris Christie. It's the Special Olympian defence, which is that you go, what can we do to not get this person booed? Please welcome New York's own Living Colour. Punk comes out in a hoodie as well. Now, that is a big tick for me. And I noticed he did this at Royal Rumble as well. So he comes out wearing a sweatshirt, you know, Terry Towley sort of, you know, one of those nice soft grey ones that hipsters wear. And it says, I am not your fake pro wrestler.
Yeah, I'm
I
serious.
Have been warming up. I have been wearing sports equipment. I have been wearing training gear. Now I'm coming out and I'm staying warm because I am about to do a physical endeavour. And I love the little sort of thing of the hoodie. There was a brief period where Randy Orton began wearing one,
right?
Which was like a sleeveless hoodie, sort of waistcoat.
Oh,
thing.
Like the boy from the brother out of Goonies.
Exactly.
Do you? I think he had one of them, maybe.
I will say, Randy Orton, it looked fucking hot in that. It really did. It was just one of those things where you sort of go, never sort of understood what difference clothes make until Randy Orton wore his sleeveless little hoodie, and you're yes, mate.
Yeah, but you know, like, Randy Orton could wear anything, he looked fucking amazing.
He's a beautiful, evil man. I just hope he leaves it where he's left it here, where everyone goes, you are a king for talking out about Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, I don't want you...
Leave it there.
Leave it there.
Throw your hand in, cash out, never speak again.
What was Undertaker's record in the end? 23 and...
I think it's like 24 and 1.
Yeah, 24 and 1. Randy, you've had your one. Fucking go, leave it there.
It is. Yeah. Please. they're just great. Good, the other thing that Punk does, which is really unusual, compared to the rest of Undertaker's matches, is when Undertaker's music hits, Punk doesn't go, oh no, I'm just scared of the bells. He just goes, ah, and he sticks his tongue out and he rubs his hands like, I am ready. And what they're doing there is they're setting up the idea that Punk's got a great thing. He's like a proper, the sense of like classical tragedy.
Mm.
When you do classical tragedy, your hero, your protagonist is always a person who is perfect, but has one flaw.
Mm.
And that flaw will bring them down. Othello, jealousy. King Lear, it's a desperate need for his approval from his daughters, that sort of thing.
Mm.
Or he tests his daughter's love. Let's get that right. This is not the sort of podcast that is going to get wrong the fatal flaw of King Lear. Let me make that clear. So you have one fatal flaw. And with Punk watching this match, you go, brilliant. He's got everything. He's cocky. He is able to go in the ring. He's a big star.
Mm.
But he has one fatal flaw. And his fatal flaw is he underestimates just how impossible The Undertaker is to beat at WrestleMania. And it's just a brilliant... He is so excited watching him come down. And it's just because he knows he's going to win.
Mm.
But he doesn't know that The Undertaker can't
special.
Lose.
It's
magic.
Mm.
When the first bell sort of like sounds, Punk, he just roars. And there's a funny thing about Punk roaring as well, which is you go, this isn't just the character, this is him going, validation.
Yeah.
I was telling them this from 2010 that I deserved to be in the main event and they didn't listen.
Yeah.
And now look at me, I'm at WrestleMania against the fucking Undertaker.
Mm.
I like that bit where it becomes a real thing, that this is a victory for Punk before it's even begin.
Yeah.
You know, and Undertaker comes out. He has hands grabbing at him in red and black, the colours of hell. Oh. They are a remarkable selection of wrestlers who were in the NXT system at the time. Yeah, those arms belonged to, and there's a really good backstage photo of them all in their bodysuits, red and black bodysuits. But they were Byron Saxton, Victor, who was in The Ascension, Cassius Ohno, the son of Vader, a guy called Jake Carter, Xavier Woods, Luke Harper, Sami Zayn, Rusev, Connor from The Ascension, and Adam Rose.
Not a bad bill.
I mean, it was astonishing. I mean, those guys would very much be, you know, doing takeovers and headlining most of it. So it's just a really sweet picture of all of them, you know, just we are the Undertaker's hand ghouls.
Handmaidens.
Punk is even in when this match, you know, as Undertaker comes down, he's got the urn. He's doing that thing where you flip it off the inside of your elbow, which is really good. A really cocky, shitty move. Not done that for years. Doink, doink.
Love it.
But it's good because it's also got a sense of he's playing mind games with the Undertaker.
Yeah,
the Undertaker is fragile.
This might be the thing that, you know,
Punk thought this through.
Friend's dead.
I know. If you really like rub it in that his mate's dead, maybe it will make him bad at wrestling. You know, he gives it a try. But when they go into
probably
it,
probably
going
to see more of him.
Yes.
Did probably you see more of him than you seen him?
Did
the Undertaker?
Did you cremate it, or was it Kane? I can never remember if Kane's involved in the business.
Yeah. Well, I think that one of his last appearances was very Kane heavy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like Kane thought Undertaker was in the coffin, and then it opens it up, and he.
I was thinking about this the other day, and it was because someone contacted me on Twitter, and I didn't write their name down. I'm really sorry about this, but they mentioned that Hacksaw Jim Duggan,
right,
carried his 2x4, the wood, and he said, "Why is he called Hacksaw when he carries the wood, which is the result of using the hacksaw?"
Yeah,
right? I mean, I sort of get that, and I sort of like with Undertaker, I had a similar thought where I'm like. Right, so you're dead.
Yeah.
And you're an Undertaker. That's a coincidence. did you preside over your own funeral? Is that how it worked? Or did you become an Undertaker after death?
Yeah.
I don't know what a coincidence. What a coincidence that you're dead and an Undertaker.
Well, is a hacksaw, sorry, can I move that hacksaw thing?
Yeah.
Is a hacksaw best? Like a handsaw is a hacksaw a handsaw? Because I'm fairly certain the hacksaws aren't the best saw for cutting.
I know, but I've never heard. I think you're right. I think actually that's the point you made. Hacksaws are specifically used for metal.
Metal. So
it would
like
be
that.
Like if I called myself Sausage Mark Haynes and I came out with
chips
or a net. A net, because I've used the net to catch fish, which is like a sausage.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like food.
Yeah. Yeah, he's absolutely right. I think that was the point he was making, that hacksaws are solely for metal. So, but he's also, he represents the hacksaw by something the hacksaw has created. So if Brutus the Barber Beefcake wasn't a barber, but he was
to
actually
him,
in a different,
no.
he was like a, he sorted out travel agencies, right? But then he was like, but it's next to a barber's. It's all confusing. Yeah. Everything's really strange. I'm travel agent Brutus Beefcake. I'm going to cut your hair.
Better give it.
If you missed my debut, this will be very confusing. Good match, really sort of like exciting. We've not seen one like this for a while because previously everyone's been a huge star. And what you've got is you've got Punk, who is being sneaky and he's fast. He runs away from the Undertaker. And I really like the fact he doesn't pretend he's really scared of him.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think it's a nice thing about a generational thing there. Where you're just going, but I know you're just a wrestler. You know, I am good at this.
But it's matches like this that will elongate the Undertaker's career.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Undertaker respects that. Yeah. I'm sure, however much of a pain in the ass it is.
Absolutely. This is one of those matches that they did not show very much of on the last ride. Mm. So even though they're dealing with these matches, and this is the last good Undertaker match. The Brock Lesnar one is good, but Undertaker gets concussed very early on, doesn't remember any of it. And so he does go through the motions, and he's a bit ploddy. But in this one, it's so weird watching The Last Ride, and you're so now used to seeing the slow, hippie, you know, this one, when he moves and he's far, it's thrilling.
Yeah.
You were like, Jesus Christ, will you ever get old? We didn't realise it would just be next year, you know. But they don't show this one at all on The Last Ride, and that's because of, I think, the problems they have with CM Punk.
Right.
But they don't want to sort of like be promoting
give him.
Every time they put CM Punk on WWE TV, it increases the sense that he's going to come back.
Right.
And I think, I think they don't want to antagonise him in that way. I think B, they're until all fed up of talking about it.
And until they've got a contract in
C is signed. That thing about going, when he comes back, we want people to go fucking nuts.
Yeah.
We don't want it to be a thing where people sort of go, oh yes, they're definitely talking. They're definitely doing this.
Right.
So I think it's a, you know, they're playing up. It's a shame not to see it because this match is, it's now become really the last of the Undertaker matches that you don't really think of.
Yeah.
And this was, it was great. It was so good. Punk is so good in it. He's the perfect foil on this.
Couldn't break that table, or could he?
When he jumps off the side of the ring and he wants to just go through the Spanish announce table and
He's not heavy enough. He's just not.
So hard. It's kind of and it makes no difference.
He cracks his. It's like I always get kicked there when I play football, like on the kind of side of the shin. Fuck me, it's painful, and there'll be a lump there for days. And he sort of catches it, and he grabs his leg a little bit later on, and it makes me sort of go. He's doing that from exactly where he caught his fucking leg on the table. But the table doesn't go through. Undertaker just sort of falls off the table. And it's really the terrible camera positioning because Punk reaches down and gives Undertaker a little squeeze.
Little squeeze.
See if he's all right.
Oh.
Little squeeze, squeeze.
Squeeze, squeeze.
I was like, oh, that's a disaster. it was so obvious. So obvious.
I think this match is great. Yeah, I really enjoyed really it. It lifted everything.
Great. I mean, it was an abhorrent angle, but it was a great story. Great pace.
Yeah.
Loved it.
And I think, you know, they have that. And the really nice thing about The Undertaker when he ran as the American Badass routine, where they basically he had a phrase where he'd sort of go, try me, I'll make you famous. And that's what this felt like.
Oh, that's nice.
It's Punk stepping up to sort of go, I will beat you. Mm. And even when he doesn't, he becomes a bigger star because he almost got there. There's a bit where Punk gets tombstoned. I think he goes for a tombstone. They go for a count and Punk gets out at two and people go, ooh, we knew he was going to kick out. But what you get here is the audience just going, I know who's going to win, but I am intrigued and excited to see what you're going to do to get us there.
Yeah.
And so when you get to that bit where you start getting the kickouts of the tombstone, you go, we're on the end straight now.
Yeah.
The end is coming. I wonder how they'll get there. And people are just really, I think, enjoying the art of the wrestling. It's a really strange thing. The crowd are vocal throughout all this. They quieten down during the sort of middle bit. Mm. But whenever there's a big move, they are up on their feet.
Yeah.
And when The Undertaker pins Punk, there's a lovely sort of end bit. He does a sort of, he bounces off the rope and he hits a tombstone. That is the bit where he counts out two, which sets the sort of seeds as well that, Punk is going to, the longer it goes, the more likely Punk is going to win.
Mm.
That's the thing, because Punk is going to somehow sneak it through. And so all of this bit is just going, I think everyone knows that. I'm getting too confused by what's going on. I absolutely loved it. There's a funny bit that I did notice, which is that the audience are 50-50 between them.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I've seen that happen in an Undertaker match. So when they start doing dueling punches, one hits, the other hits, there's yay for both of them.
Mm.
And that seemed like a really strange thing. People are always on the Undertaker's side. Here, Punk is popular enough that people are going, we would be okay if you won. The referee goes down. He Punk's going to cheat here. Mm. That's how he's going to win. No, it doesn't. Again, that's part of the drama of watching it. They don't care what happens. They just want to see how we get there.
Yeah.
And we get there in the end. It was the last great Undertaker match. It should have closed the show. The streak was so big at that time. Obviously, if you've got The Rock in the main event, The Rock is going to be closing out the show. It's a shame in a weird way that this didn't happen a year when The Rock didn't want to come and do it.
Yeah.
Because this would have been a fitting end to The Undertaker's career.
I mean, CM Punk would have got his headlining.
Entirely. This could have been Undertaker's last great main event and it would have entirely delivered.
But we would have sort of like, I mean, we've watched so many of these WrestleManias, like, their headlining match is always toilet. It's always just, you know, there's very few kind of main events that really live up to the name.
That's true. Just one little last note that you'll find interesting. My mum and dad have still got the ashes of my great aunt Carrie in our spare bedroom. She was cremated, I would say now, over 30 years ago.
Right, okay.
And they've never, ever managed to get it so that they can have the tomb that she wanted to be put in opened up. Because there's just some paperwork that's got to be done.
Right.
And she has been up there for so long, I can't tell you. I once did a BBC Six Music show with Andrew Collins, and he said, I've got a section. Can you bring in something really strange and weird from home that we talk about? I was like, yeah, sure, I'll bring in my aunt's ashes. See you Saturday. Bye. And I got a call later that evening from one of the BBC. I think it might even have been the lawyer. just saying, under no circumstances...
you to bring human matter.
Andrew Collins having a little
tattletale.
I will.
Your tongue will split, and our little dog is.
Cut forward to the
bit.
Show that we did on Saturday. Andrew Collins on the floor, me pouring the ashes of my dead aunt into his mouth to absolute wonderful critical acclaim. Wrestle me, Pete.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.